Because I'm hearing that he just walks in the room and starts to touch you and you're not turned on. Maybe you're not feeling connected to him. Maybe that's what you need. For me personally, I know that I'm the most connected to my partner. We have a chance to like talk about our day. I want to feel connected. Unless I haven't seen my partner in a while, you know, most of the time I'm going to need other things happening. It's like my warm up. It's my foreplay. You know, I often say that foreplay starts after the last orgasm. What have you guys been doing to connect since the last time you had sex? You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. On today's Hotline show, I take your calls about having sex talks, like telling a partner you want your vanilla sex to be a little spicier, how to relax into oral sex and give your partner tips to make you scream, and how to tell your partner, you know what? I need to be seduced a little before we jump into penetration. If we can talk about sex like we talk about dinner, everyone wins. So take a listen to this best of episode and see if your next sex talk is a little bit easier. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to this show. Your review of the podcast helps get this show out to so many more people so they can be having better sex like you. And this review comes from Shanorama. She writes, great podcast, 5 stars. Emily is a great host, lots of variety of sex advice, Q&A, and is very open to all relationship types. Just found the podcast recently, but I'm trying to go back to check out a ton of missed episodes. Well, thank you, Shanorama. I so appreciate your review, and I'm so happy you found the podcast. Welcome to the Sex with Emily family. My new articles, Sexy Stocking Stuffers, and Why You Should Try Anal and How to Do It the Right Way, are up on sexwithemily.com. We also have a brand new guide on my website all about sex positions with illustrations and descriptions, so you do not want to miss this one. You can check it out at sexwithemily.com/guides or just find it in our show notes. And if you haven't seen them yet, I have 2 holiday gift guides out right now, which I'm super proud of. We work really hard on these gift guides to make shopping that much easier for you. So one's on my Sex with Emily website. The other gift guide is at my Shop with Emily site. It has all my go-to sex toy recs to give the gift of pleasure this season. So you can find that one at shopsexwithemily.com, and I will link both in the show notes. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
Hi, my name is Abby. I'm 20 from Idaho. I have a question about receiving oral. I've been with my boyfriend for almost 2 years, and I can't tell if I like it or not. He likes giving it to me, and I like the idea of it, but maybe he's the first I've ever had sex with. He's the first one who I've ever received oral from. So I just can't tell if maybe it's something that we need to just like try more, or it's almost not worth it doing it, because like sometimes I find pleasure from it, but sometimes it doesn't really get me there, or it gets me there too fast sometimes because I don't understand. Something I'd like to be more curious about. Thank you. Bye.
All right, Abby, thank you so much for your question. Okay, listen, My first oral sex experience when I was 20 years old at the University of Michigan, my boyfriend went down on me and I was like, he tried to go down on me. I was like, what are you doing? Like, this doesn't feel good. I don't understand it. Do you really want to be doing this? You know, isn't this dirty? Isn't it wrong? Like, I didn't know how to even take it in and how to feel it and how to experience it. Sounds like you're a little bit more involved than I was. You're actually letting him do it. I think I stopped him completely, but you're letting him do it and you're feeling your way through it. It's a new experience completely. And also, not to knock your boyfriend, but I'm going to guess he probably doesn't have a lot of experience doing it either. So it might not feel the best it's going to feel in your life. In fact, I'm going to tell you that oral sex can be an incredible act. And the majority of vulva owners, remember, are going to have their most pleasure and most orgasms from oral sex, fingers, or toys. That said, I think we just need a little bit more time with you kind of relaxing into it, breathing, maybe guiding him and letting him know what feels good and what doesn't. I'm also curious what your experience is with pleasure and with orgasm, knowing your own body. Have you spent time masturbating, touching yourself? Do you know where your hot spots are in your body? Do you know what feels particularly good for you? What doesn't feel good for you? So really, this is a collaboration between you and your partner. And so he's probably doing what he's seen in porn. And the other challenge about oral sex is that everyone's body is different. Every single vulva is a different vulva and likes different things. Like, I learned through my masturbation that the upper left quadrant of my vulva, like on the left side of my clitoris, is more sensitive than the right. For you, Abby, it might be your right and not your left. How fun we get to really get granular and figure out what feels good to us. Now, there might be something with your partner. Like, I love that he's so enthusiastic, but maybe you guys could slow it down and say, you know what? I'm really trying to pinpoint where it feels good and where it doesn't. And I've found that for me, this learning process has really been helpful when I go slow, my partner goes slow, I breathe. And since the clitoris is so sensitive, the vulva, there's 8,000 nerve endings, that it really is a wonderful practice to kind of slow down and see how each touch feels, how the tongue feels, different licks, different moves. You remember, you can also use his fingers. That's really helpful. That can feel great. Oral sex isn't just about the mouth. Also, just take the pressure off yourself that you should feel something in particular, like there's a particular outcome. So right now, where you're learning just to receive, because that's a whole nother art of oral, is receiving oral. Because most of us are in our heads going, oh my God, do they really want to be there? Do I smell? Is my labia weird? Am I going to orgasm? Am I not going to orgasm? What are they doing? And then guess what happens? When you are in your head and you're like cycling all these thoughts through your head, you are so far from your body and you're so far being in your body and feeling what feels good. So take the pressure off. Don't look for an outcome and just breathe and feel into what feels good and communicate with your partner. Now, we have a ton of resources about giving and receiving oral sex on a vulva. Check out our podcast, A+ Oral Sex for Vulvas and Everybody Loves Oral. Two great podcasts to start with. We also have articles that break down things like the Kiven method. Gosh, I'm not going to get into it here, but the Kiven method, just go to our website, check out this article. Everything that I'm mentioning is in the show notes, but the Kiven method is a game changer. I mentioned it about 7 years ago on the show for the first time, and it's particularly for oral sex and vulva owners, and all y'all emailed me. I've never received so many emails in my life and DMs. People were like, this was a game changer. My partner had an orgasm for the first time. It felt amazing. So check it out, Kiven, or check out the show notes. Thanks for your question. You got this, Abby.
Hi, my name's Tino. I'm a 29-year-old non-binary person calling in from Colorado. And I had a question about using the same vibrator for multiple partners. I'm polyamorous, and I was recently hanging out with some female friends, and I was talking about getting like a Vesper, like a little necklace vibrator, just so I could have that on hand, you know, if anything ever gets spicy. And they were all like, oh, no, like you can't use the same toy on multiple people. And I was really curious to hear a perspective from an expert about that, like the do's and don'ts, like even if you sanitize things, if it's kind of taboo to do so. Thank you so much.
All right, Tino, thank you so much for your question. And I love this question because, you know, There's a lot of us who are experiencing more with multiple partners. And what are you supposed to do? Get a toy for every partner that you meet? But I understand this is not as commonly known that you actually can share toys across partners because there's such a stigma with it. To be honest, I was there before too. I was like, oh my God, I don't want you to whip out a toy that's been in someone else's vulva or someone else's anus. Ew. And it doesn't feel personal and it kind of gets you out of the mood. But here's the truth of the matter is that there are some risks. Okay. Let me just tell you this. There are risks of sharing toys. Like you can get an STI if you don't clean the toys properly. But listen, if you clean your toys before and after, remember, you have to clean your toys again. Even if you clean them last time, they can collect dust, which can also contribute to infection. And then you store them, you're going to be fine. Now, to be extra safe, you can use condoms with your toys and make sure you use the right kind of cleaner for whatever the material is. You can buy a specific toy cleaner. We have some on our site in our shop. Or you could just use a damp cloth with some regular hand soap. But here are some cleaning basics. Anytime you get semen or vaginal secretions or fluids, anything on your body part or a device, that can be spread to other people. So this can be a hygienic or a safety concern. So body safe devices though, like vibrators, are made from non-porous materials that can be sanitized, right? Like silicone, glass, you know, Pyrex, stainless steel. So again, you want to clean before and after. So since these are non-porous materials, you're going to be okay with the right cleaning. Another thing you can do is separate them from, you know, in plastic containers or in cloth bags, which is another way to cut down on them touching each other. So if you are concerned about multiple devices, you could take a day and decide which toy belongs to who. But I really, really think that if you have a conversation with your partners, you let them know that it's clean, that you're seeing other people, because if you're poly, they know this as well. They know they're probably seeing other people, that it's just a matter of getting over that hump of like, ew, are they sanitized? Are they clean? And I think once you assure them that you're taking proper measures, that, you know, these toys are clean and sanitized, you know what to do, then maybe they'll be able to relax and get out of their head and into their body when you're playing with them with all these wonderful toys. Really, it's just a matter of communication and being hygienic. Thanks for your question, Tino. I appreciate it.
Hi, Dr. Emily. My name is Andrew. I'm from Washington State. In my 30s, me and my wife have been married for 10 years. So we're both the only people we've ever been with. And over the last couple of years, our life in the bedroom has been stale or non-existent, maybe once a month if we're lucky. And then also it's pretty vanilla, pretty boring. I want to be a little bit more adventurous. She's very not. Thank you. Bye.
Andrew, well, welcome to being married for 10 years, okay? Or welcome to just be married for a while or in a committed relationship for a while. Your sex life is going to get a little bit stale. In fact, I'd be hard-pressed to find a couple that doesn't have this challenge, unless they've been listening to the show for a long time and they understand that prioritizing your pleasure, prioritizing talking about sex to your partner is probably one of the most important conversations you can have. So you're not alone. Nothing's wrong. And let's start where you're at. So first I want to know, how was your sex life in the beginning of the relationship? Did you guys have had sex? Were you really connected to each other? You know, was it a little bit more exciting in the beginning? I hope the answer is yes. Help the answer is yes. That's why we are with somebody. We're with somebody because usually the sex was amazing in the beginning. And then over time, we get set in our ways. We focus on our careers or family or other things. And we just kind of forget about the sex. And then it's hard to get back to it. Or it's hard to even make it exciting again. Because remember, honeymoon sex is the best sex early on. You know, it's all new. You've never been with this person before. You've never touched this person's body before. So now we got to start thinking about, what can you guys do to make it a little bit more interesting right now? Have you ever talked to her about your sex life? Have you ever had a conversation and said, God, I would love to prioritize our sex life. I'd love to know some of your biggest turn-ons, your turn-offs, what's worked for you. You know, let's be great lovers to each other. So that's where this starts. Here's how it doesn't start. Gosh, our sex life is super boring lately. Feels really vanilla. Don't you think so? Because where do you go from there? Then she feels bad. She's made it vanilla. Oh my God, it's my fault. Well, a lot of us do that. I would probably do that. Start shaming and blaming herself. So if you start from a positive angle, again, using my 3 T's of communication, outside the bedroom, not right after you just had boring sex again. That is not the time to do it. It's like, you know, babe, I'm thinking about us. God, I love you. You can try the compliment sandwich. Love the compliment sandwich. Compliment sandwich starts with a wonderful compliment about your sex life. Hey, you know, I've just been thinking about our 10 years together. And, you know, you can mention something that you do love about your sex life. God, you know, I just loved watching you come out of the shower the other day. It was so hot to look at your body. And I think about sex with you all the time. That's the positive part of the sandwich. That's the first layer of bread. And then the middle part is where you give a little feedback. You make a request and you say, it's really hot. And I have been listening to this podcast lately. I've been reading up on relationships. And I realized that I would love to continue to really have hot, incredible sex for the rest of our lives, the next 10 years, the next 30 years. And I would love it if we could start to talk about some things that we both want to try in the bedroom and start to prioritize some fun, different things. And you could even talk about listening to the show. I have a podcast we should listen to together. I was listening to this podcast and I realized that the majority of couples, their sex life continues to evolve and grow and become even more intimate and sexy, talk about sex. And I realized we never talked about sex. So that would be your request in the middle. And then the final piece of bread in our compliment sandwich is, because I really think if we start having talks, prioritizing our pleasure, exploring and trying new things, we're going to have a sex life that's going to be next level and really enhance our relationship. And I can't wait to try things. Are you open? And I want you to be prepared that she might push back. She might say, you don't like our sex life? Are you not attracted to me anymore? Are you dating someone else? Is there someone else in the picture? What did I do wrong? Are you watching a lot of porn? Because remember, people, when you bring up sex in a relationship where you've never talked about it, right? I don't care if it's 10 months, 10 years, you know, you've been together for 50 years. If you have never talked about it, the first time you do, your partner's going to go into a little panic. They're going to go into a little fight or flight. They're going to wonder, like, why hasn't this come up before? What is the problem? It's danger because sex is so scary for so many of us. It's terrifying. Our partner brings up sex, like, sound off the alarm. This is a problem. So you might have to reassure her. You probably haven't talked about it either. So this is new for you. So you could say, babe, I just want you to know that this is new for me. This is really uncomfortable. But from what I've gathered, it's really important for us to work on this together to get through this hump and just continue to reassure her that you think this is something that once we get past all this shame and the blocks, actually, the truth is, once you learn to make this sex life more interesting for both of you and an evolving part of your relationship, it really is going to enhance every other part of your relationship. I see this time and time again, because what's actually been missing is this excitement and the thrill that comes from having really connected sex. And so maybe resentments have built up. Maybe one or both of you sort of started to dread bedtime because you know that like sex is going to happen. It might not be very good or it's kind of boring. Because believe me, she knows this as well. She knows there's something up with your sex life you haven't quite addressed yet. But once you do, it becomes a project. It becomes a new hobby. It becomes a fun part of your relationship that you're going to start to rebuild or maybe for the first time create together. You like co-creating a new sexual experience together, which I find very, very exciting and very thrilling. So I'm excited for you to start to have new conversations about your turn-ons, your turn-offs, our yes, no, maybe list, listening to the podcast together, watching some ethical porn, like whatever fodder you need so you guys can both start making decisions about where you want your sex life to go is going to be helpful for your next level of your relationship and your sex life. Thank you so much for your question, Andrew. And please keep me posted, you guys. There's nothing I love more than hearing your stories. This is from Michelle 47, and she said, Dr. Emily, I recently discovered your podcast on Spotify, and you've given me so much to think about and talk about in my relationship with my boyfriend. I'm 47, he's 56. We've been dating for a year and a half. Sex has been amazing, but now I'm finding ways to change things up. One of the common things I'm getting from your podcast is the importance of communication and its effects on sex. I love the three T's, and I was mindful of them when I had a frank talk with him last night. I also brought up listening to your podcast and I was curious if he would like to try sex without penetration. We had amazing sex this morning without penetration and both of us orgasmed. Win-win. Thank you. So to me, that's like she listened. It helped her. These tips that I'm telling you. So you guys, let me know. Drop me a note. Email me. feedback@sexwithelmy.com. Let me know how it's going because we're all invested in your journey. Don't go away. I'm putting you on hold for just a few moments while we take a quick break for our sponsors. But before I go, real quick, Firm Tech. Now, if you listen to the show, you know that sex toys feel good on all bodies, no matter what your body parts. But for penis owners specifically, I love recommending penis rings. Here's why. They help maintain erections, they control ejaculation, and just make sex feel amazing. And Firm Tech has some really exciting innovations on penis rings, including their tech ring. Think of it like a Fitbit for your penis. It tracks important erectile fitness measures during sex and sleep. So for example, your number of nocturnal erections, the strength and duration of erections, and it has these built-in sensors. So it tracks and monitors your vital signs that provides you with valuable insights into your sexual health. I've never seen anything like it. And sexual function is really often an indicator of broader vascular health issues or, you know, any impacts of medication. We need to know this stuff. So don't wait. Go to firmtech.com right now. That's F-I-R-M-T-E-C-H.com. Plus, when you purchase a tech ring and use code Emily at checkout, you can get a one-on-one consultation with Firm Tech founder, Dr. Justin. And he is a pioneer. He'll answer all your questions, and it's quite a deal here. And you'll save $230. Just use code Emily at checkout at firmtech.com. All right, we'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Hey, Emily. This is Bobby from Chesapeake, Virginia, and I'm 27 years old. And my question for you, Emily, is I have been getting with a older woman. She has kids. She has a 16-year-old and a 3-year-old. I am like the happiest I've ever been because in my age, millennials don't have the drive that I have. I found that in this older woman, and she's beautiful, and it's the best sex I've ever had, but is it wrong? Is age just a number? Listen to your show all the time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for your question, Bobby. You sound so happy, Bobby. And I totally get why this is so exciting for you. Being with an older woman is incredible, especially as a young man. Gosh, what we've learned, how we know our bodies, how we know to advocate what we want. Like, there is nothing like a woman in her sexuality and ecstasy, especially a woman who knows herself, right? So I get it. And I don't think you're doing anything wrong. I think you are having a wonderful experience right now that you will remember for the rest of your life. You're probably growing from it. She's getting a lot from it. But there have been studies that have shown that a 10 years or fewer years is ideal for an age gap. And when you get to 10 years or more, there just poses more challenges. You grew up in a different generation. You have different values. You might want to have kids. She's already had her kids. It can be just hard to relate with the day-to-day life challenges and life experiences when there is such a massive age gap. It's not that it is wrong in any way. It just shows that we like to kind of be with people who like to do the same things that we like to do. As we get older, our goals might be different. So think about it. Like, what do you both want first? Have you talked about it? Is it a short-term relationship? Is it a long-term relationship? Maybe it's just kind of a fun fling right now. That's great. But if it's long-term, have you talked about what your goals are? Do you want the same things? Because at the end of the day, that's what relationships are about. You know, does she want to retire in 15, 20 years? And do you want to continue to work? Do you guys like to spend your weekends in the same way? Can I just say that? I think such a great test of knowing if a partner is compatible with us is like, do we both have the same idea of a perfect Saturday? If we have a Saturday that's free, do we want to do the same things? Think about those things. And the children thing, we've already covered that. If you want children, I'm pretty sure she's probably already done having kids, although I don't know. And if your friends and family met her, now I'm not saying you need to go off of what your friends and family think, but I think it's important to just kind of bring her around people that you love and meet her people and just see, like any other relationship, do we get along? Do we like each other's friends and family? Do they support us? So again, I don't think that this is inherently right or wrong. A lot of times our chronological age is different than our perceived age. Like I definitely feel like I am 20 years younger than I am. And maybe that's really what matters. Maybe your energetic age is more compatible right now. So maybe you guys do have a lot of great interests that are shared. I wouldn't overthink this. Sounds like you're having a great time and you're really into it, but continue to have your eyes open and have those conversations and make sure that you guys are continuing to be on the same page while also enjoying this really fun, lustful, exciting phase. So studies have shown that heterosexual couples with large age gaps had a faster decline in relationship satisfaction in the first 6 to 10 years of marriage than similarly aged couples. So couples with an age gap of 1 to 3 years with a man older than the woman were the most common and had greatest levels of satisfaction. And then relationship satisfaction decreased for couples with age gaps of 4 to 6 years and continued to decrease for couples with an age gap of 7 or more years. So those are the stats, but also I really want you to do you and pay attention to what works for both of you right now. All right, thanks for your question. It's a great one. I'd love to hear from all of you. Are you in relationships with an age gap that is actually working for you or didn't work for you and why? Love to hear from you.
Hi, Emily. This is Tracy. I am 50-year-old female and I am in South Florida. And my two-part question is, how can I get my husband of 4 years, who's 53, to be more romantic with me before sex? He just usually goes right into it and starts touching me without kissing or anything. And I need a little more than that. I need some foreplay, which he doesn't do so well. And secondly, how can I increase my sex drive? I notice at 50 and even for the past few years, it's been way, 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 way down. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much for your question, Tracy. All right. So it sounds like you and your husband just need a little bit of reset here. And so, you know, it is common to get into routine where your husband walks in, he kind of gropes you for a few minutes and then like sticks it in, pumps away, roll over, watch TV. And that doesn't work for many vulva owners. Foreplay is important. You know, foreplay isn't just a suggestion like, oh, foreplay would be nice if you get around to it. No, no. Foreplay is actually a requirement. Because the majority of vulva owners need time to warm up. We need time to get turned on in the mood. And what happens with a lot of penis owners, not all of them, but many, is that, you know, that their arousal and desire is a little bit more spontaneous. So in the moment, he gets hit, struck with this attraction for you and he just wants you. So he just comes in, he starts going and you're like, I'm not even ready right now. I'm not even thinking about sex. So we need to first figure out is when are you in the mood for sex? Think back to when you were feeling a little bit more turned on and you felt like your sex drive was where you wanted to be. What was happening prior to that? We all have to become experts in our own sexual history, our own sex drives. Like, do you know the times like when you were turned on? What did your partner do preceding that? What were you doing? Was the house really clean? Were the kids napping? Did you just have a great day at work? Were you coming home from a workout? Did you have a great meal? Did you not have a great meal because then you weren't full? Like, really think about where was your mind, body, spirit when you were turned on? you know, the last few times or the majority of times. This is how we start to become like little inspectors or detectives. And we're like, okay, well, this is all the things I need to have in place so I am turned on. And then you get to communicate that with your partner, or you get to figure it out together. So again, this starts with a communication about your sex life outside the bedroom, using my 3 T's of communication, or just letting him know, like, our sex life is so important. I've noticed, like, the last few years, you know, tell him the truth. Like, my sex drive isn't what it once was. I love you. I honor our sex life. We got to make it a priority. And I'm also trying to figure out what's really going to get me in the mood, what's going to get me turned on. And I'm thinking I need more than you walking in the room and touching me in a way that, seriously, babe, I'm finding that doesn't really do it for me. So would you want to go on a journey with me right now while I figure out what my turn-ons actually are and what gets me there? That would be the way that I would frame that with him. But also, let's talk about your sex drive. Okay, so it is known that certain age, things change, our hormones start to fluctuate. You know, perimenopause for women can be like a 10, 15 year process, starting in the late 30s, going to the early 50s. Gosh, that's even more than that. It could be 15 years. But no one really talks about it that much. Not enough. There's some more information coming out these days, but it's like this secret part of women's life. We just to silently suffer through this period in our life where our body changes. We might feel like we're a little bit drier. We have less lubrication. We are less turned on. Sex can get painful. We have, you know, our desire isn't what it once was. Just normalizing that first off. Gosh, I really want to normalize that. And then think about it. Like, some reasons why you might have a low sex drive, some common culprits are your hormones. Have you had your hormones checked? Are you particularly stressed out about anything? Are you on any medications? Medications, no matter what our age, like antidepressants, huge impact on our sex drive. Are you depressed? How's your sleep? You know, anything going on with intimacy, any resentments in the relationship about money or drive overall? Just like, you know, what is going on? Are you guys making time for intimacy in other ways? Are you having date night? There have been like really comprehensive studies that have shown that couples who say once a week, it's our non-negotiable, it's our date night, we're not doing anything else, we're not canceling it, it's the most important thing of our week, have shown that their relationships flourish in other ways, like making time for just the two of you so you feel particularly connected. Because I'm hearing that he just walks in the room and starts to touch you and you're not turned on. Maybe you're not feeling connected to him. Maybe that's what you need. For me personally, I know that I'm the most connected to my partner. We have a chance to like talk about our day, share something that's been going on lately. I want to feel connected. Unless I haven't seen my partner in a while, you know, most of the time I'm going to need other things happening. It's like my warm up. It's my foreplay. You know, I often say that foreplay starts after the last orgasm. What have you guys been doing to connect since the last time you had sex? Masturbation is an important part too of getting our sex drive where we want it to be, because sex begets sex. So the more orgasms we have, the more pleasure we have, the more connected we are to sex and orgasm, the more we're going to want to have. So Tracy, those are just some things to be thinking about. Get curious, become an expert in your own sex drive and your own sex life, because then you can be the best advocate for yourself. And this is just something that you get to work on with your partner. It's a new fun thing you guys can share together and figuring out how you can have sex that is equally satisfying, desirable, and pleasurable for both of you. Thanks for your question, Tracy. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.